throughout the scriptures, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is symbolized as a dove, as a flame, as fire, as water, as oil. It is symbolized as a seal. But in Exodus, we see the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, is symbolized as a cloud. Everybody say, follow the cloud. And so from the minute that the children of Israel, the minute that they set their feet out of Egypt, the moment they came out of Egypt, God directed them, God guided them, He guided them to the Red Sea, He guided them through the Red Sea, He guided them through the wilderness, He guided them to the promised land. And God guided them in three ways. And God guides us in the same three ways as well. God guided them through the man of God, Moses. God guided them by the angel of the Lord. But today, I want to focus that God guided them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The pillar of cloud by day guided them in the daytime. And the pillar of fire by night showed them the way in the nighttime. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, they're the same thing. They both represent the Spirit of God. So God is faithful. I'm thankful that I can read in the book of Exodus that when Moses was given that great task of leading the people of God out of Egypt, that God did not leave Moses alone. He was with him the whole time. Signs and wonders followed. Moses was fearful. Moses was nervous. Moses would have had an element of anxiety because Moses, as the prophecy was today, was stepping out of the ordinary. He was stepping out of the comfort zone and he was stepping into the spiritual realm because on his own, he couldn't even speak properly. On his own, he couldn't lead the people of Israel or the children of Israel out of Egypt. He couldn't do it on his own. But God led him and God led his people all the way. And God still seeks to lead and guide his people. And so the cloud and the fire were there coming out of Egypt. The cloud and the fire was there in the wilderness. The same cloud, if you read it in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says the same cloud also filled the temple where the priests were ministering. As they begin to lift up their voice and begin to play the instruments, the power and the glory of God fell in the temple. And the cloud was so thick, the presence of God was so thick that not even the ministers were able to stand and to minister in it. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm not just talking about a feel-good feeling. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the cloud, which represents the Spirit of God. You see, brothers and sisters, we ought to be people of the cloud. We ought to be people that follow the cloud and say, I don't want to follow the ways of this world. I don't want to follow the ways of these people. I just want to follow the leading of your Spirit. I want to follow the cloud. And so the question we must ask ourselves today, brothers and sisters, is that if God would do that for the children of Israel, would He do it for us? Would He do it for you and me? In the midst of our fear, would God still be interested in leading and guiding us as a church? Would God still be able to lead and guide us and to show us the way? Can God still show us when to stop and when to go? Does God still love His people? Are we still His children? Are we still the called out ones? Is God interested in leading and guiding us today in 2020? With all the technological advances, we might like to think that we don't need God anymore, and many people think that. But I tell you, we need God more than ever. We need to follow the cloud more than ever. We need to be in the cloud more than ever. We need to hear God speak out of the cloud more than ever in these last days. And in the same way that the Spirit of God guided the children of Israel through the wilderness, I want to tell you today that God wants to guide you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it's not more complicated. But God wants to lead and guide you by His Spirit. Now, we don't follow a cloud, and maybe you've been lucky enough to see the cloud of His presence. There's been times in services when people have been able to see a physical cloud that represented the Spirit of God. Maybe not following a physical cloud, but the Spirit of God inside of us wants to lead and guide us. It is the will of God, write this down, it is the will of God for every believer to be filled with the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so this pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud were types and shadows of the Holy Spirit that would be poured out in the New Testament. Now, you may say, Pastor, that's a long bow to make the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and to be able to go all the way into the New Testament and say, you know, oh, it's a type and shadow of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Book of Acts. That's a long bow. Let me tell you, I'm not the only one that likened the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of water, likened it back to Exodus. I'm not the only one. I'm in good company. So if you got a problem with me linking this back to the Old Testament, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the Apostle Paul. Because 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2, Paul says this, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that how all our fathers back, he's looking back, how all our fathers were under the cloud." I want you to remember that all our fathers were under the cloud and all of them passed through the sea. Okay, so what does that mean? That's a good little history lesson, Paul. That's great. Uh-oh, now what does he say? And we're all baptized. Everybody say baptized. Now he's likening baptism to what happened in the Exodus. And we're all baptized unto Moses. Okay, we understand the bit about the sea because that's water. But they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud. And Paul was saying to the church at Corinth that the baptism in the cloud and the baptism in the fire was required for the children of Israel to come out of Egypt and to go into the promised land. And Paul was telling the church at Corinth that there were two baptisms for Israel, a baptism by water through the sea, a baptism by spirit through the cloud. And Paul was saying both of those baptisms are necessary for us as well. A baptism by water and a baptism by spirit. You see, the birth of the New Testament, when the New Testament church was birthed, it was accompanied with the cloud. It was accompanied with the fire. They were in the upper room. They had been praying 10 days. Everyone say 10 days. Some of us, we give up praying after 10 minutes. They prayed 10 days. Some of us, we want the power of God to be manifest. We want to see miracles, signs, and wonders, but we can't even pray more than 10 minutes. But when they prayed, they tarried 10 days in the upper room, and that New Testament church was there, and the promise had been that God would pour out His Spirit, that they would be empowered by the Spirit, and they're waiting. And the New Testament church was birthed with the same cloud. The cloud of the Spirit of God fell in that upper room. We can't do it without the cloud. You see, the children of Israel came out of Egypt. The moment they set their foot out of Egypt, the cloud was there to lead and guide them. The moment the New Testament church was birthed, poof, the cloud was there to fill them and to lead and guide them. The children, the moment you come out of sin, the moment you make up your mind that you're not going to compromise with this world anymore and you walk out of Egypt, which is a type of sin, of slavery and bondage, the moment that you take a step to live for God and to come out of Egypt, the moment you repent of your sin, let me tell you, God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to follow the cloud. You can't do this, church. We can't survive as Christians in the year 2020. As smart as we think we are, we can't do it without following the cloud. We can't do it without being Spirit-filled and without being Spirit-led. You see, we are people of the cloud. Everyone say, people of the cloud. That doesn't mean we're under the cloud, like depressed and all that. No, we are people of the cloud, the Spirit of God. In fact, it was the cloud. The cloud, and I like this. I've never read this scripture before. I've never seen it in this light. But it was the cloud that identified the people. It was the cloud. And we call ourselves Pentecostals. Pentecost, for those that haven't heard me say this before, Pentecost is not a denomination. We are Christians. We are followers of Jesus who have had the Pentecostal experience. Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Just like they did in the book of Acts. We are Christians that have had the Pentecost experience. And people like to try and categorize us as some unique type of Christians because, you know, a denomination because we've been filled with the Spirit. But when I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit wasn't for some select group of people, a certain denomination. Let me tell you, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Every believer. The Holy Spirit is for every believer, and it is the cloud that identifies us. Throw that scripture up in Numbers chapter 14, verse 14. It says this, "Now if you destroy them, the Egyptians will send a report to the inhabitants of this land who have already heard that you live among your people." How many people are thankful that God lives among us? That God is with us. "They've already heard that you live among your people. They know, Lord, that you have appeared to your people." How many people are thankful that we can have a relationship with God? I'm going to go to India in just 2 weeks from now. And I'll go and see people bowing down and worshiping thousands of idols and images and all that. But let me tell you, I can have a relationship with my God. So they've already heard that you live among your people. They know, Lord, that you've appeared to your people face to face and that your pillar of cloud hovers over them. The pillar of cloud hovers over the people. The people of God are the people who have been filled with the Spirit, who are following the cloud, not just Spirit-filled, but Spirit-led. Hereby we know that we are the children of God. We have been adopted because we have the same Spirit. The Spirit of God. The cloud hovers over His people. Look at this, the New Testament church is birthed. Here it is, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, "And I hasten. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They were people of the cloud. 2020, we're still people of the cloud. We're still a church that believes in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're still a church that believes you can be led by the Spirit of God. You see, in the Old Testament, it was the cloud. In the New Testament, they were endued with power from on high. It was the same Spirit of God that led His people out of Egypt. It's the same Spirit of God that leads Calvary Chapel, that leads Christians today that are filled with the Spirit of God. We're Pentecostals. We are people of the cloud. And just like the Israelites needed the cloud, we need the cloud. Started to think about all the things I could talk about because, you know, the cloud is like a term for being able to get stuff out of the cloud. People say, "Oh, I got some photos, but they're in the cloud." The only thing I really know about clouds is that I can download some stuff out of the cloud. Stuff that I don't have, I can download out of the cloud. The same thing applies in the spiritual. When I am nothing, when I haven't got anything, when I don't know where to go, or when I don't know where to stop, when I don't know the way, let me tell you, I can download some things out of the cloud. Because the Spirit of God is not just there to fill me, but the Spirit of God is there to lead and guide me, to strengthen me. To, you know, Zerubbabel, it says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." And some of us need to stop relying on our own resources and stop relying on our own strength and start to download some things out of the cloud, because the Spirit of God wants to lead and guide you. The cloud, the Holy Ghost is for everybody. Everyone say everyone. It's for you. Everyone say me. Acts 2:39 says, for the promise is unto you and to your children. It doesn't say the promise is unto Pentecostals. It says it's unto all believers and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. Acts chapter 5 verse 32 and says, we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. If you obey God, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just in case you thought, poor me, God doesn't want to fill me with the Holy Spirit, then Jesus said this in Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, somebody say amen, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You have not because you ask not. How much more? I mean, what else do we need the Bible to tell us to believe that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is for everyone? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, this is where I might get a little bit controversial, and maybe some people may not completely understand where I'm coming from. But as I look through the book of Acts, I see that the Holy Spirit was poured out. And when it was poured out, there came a sound from heaven. There were cloven tongues of fire, and they began to speak with other tongues. They weren't speaking, but the Bible says, as the Spirit gave the utterance, the Spirit of God was speaking through them, the utterance. They were speaking in tongues. And so sometimes people they don't like to talk about this stuff, because speaking in tongues, you know, it sounds odd. But, you know, every Christian in your Bible, when they received the Holy Spirit, when you read it, they spoke with other tongues at the moment that they were filled. It was the initial evidence on the day of Pentecost. We already read it in Acts chapter 2. When even, you know, I don't like to mention other denominations, but there is another church where they make a big deal out of Mary and Peter. Mary and Peter. They believe Peter was the first pope. Let me tell you, Mary and Peter were in the upper room. Read your Bible. It says Mary and Peter were there. Acts chapter 1 verse 13 and 14. Both Mary and Peter were in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Dear Mary and brother Peter were both filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what kind of believer you are, the Holy Spirit is for everybody. I pray the Pope would get the Holy Ghost as well, just like Peter. Cornelius' household, who were Gentiles. The Bible says in Acts 10 that they spoke with other tongues when they received the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know that the ongoing evidence of being filled with the Spirit is spiritual fruit, but the initial evidence is that they spoke with other tongues. In Acts chapter 19, we read that Paul went there and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You don't get the Holy Ghost when you believe. Paul said in Acts 19, verse 1 to 5, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, this infilling of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. We are a people of the cloud. We've got to live with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we cannot make it. We've got to follow the cloud. Not the crowd, the cloud. Why do we need it? First of all, protection. Everyone say protection. During the day, the Holy Spirit is the pillar of cloud. And I wanted to try and figure out, is there any symbolism between the cloud and the fire? Let me tell you, it's pretty just common sense. You can't really see fire during the day, and you can't see a cloud at night. So they needed a cloud during the day, and they needed a fire at night. But you know, when we talk about light, there's some symbolism here. When we talk about light, is where there is no evil. During the day, in the daytime, when there is light, there are no evil forces or spiritual battles that we're going through. The Bible says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There are times when everything in your life spiritually is going to be going fine. There's going to be times when you do have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, even on your best day, you still need the cloud. They needed the cloud by day. Even when you think you know where you're going, you still need the cloud. Even when you think you can see, you still need the cloud. They followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Night speaks of darkness, signifying spiritual evil forces or spiritual battles. Let me tell you, we all know this already. We need the Holy Spirit when we're going through the dark times. When we can't see, when we're in the middle of a battle, when we're in darkness, we need the Spirit of God. And so the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It moved. And that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire moved and went behind the children of Israel and separated them from the Egyptians. I want to show you that the cloud provides protection. The pillar of fire provides protection. Look at this. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. And the angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel and removed and went behind them. It went behind them. Who was chasing them at the time? Egypt. Their enemy was pursuing them, and the cloud, the fire, went behind them, went from before their face and stood behind them. Exodus 14, verse 19. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Let me tell you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the protection of the Spirit of God on your life. You can't see it because you're facing forward. You're going forward. But let me tell you, when you're filled with the Spirit, God's got your back. You think that your past is pursuing you, but let me tell you, God's got your back. The cloud has gone from where you can see it to go behind you. And it says it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them. You see, it blinded. The cloud blinded the enemy. But it gave light to the children and warmth to the children of Israel. When you are filled with the Spirit, you have power. Everyone say power. But you shall be endued with power from on high. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power to be witnesses, it says. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, he promised. He said, I'm going to give you power to tread on serpents. We spoke about this on Wednesday night. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. There's power when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have power over your enemies. Everyone say enemy. Now, we talk about enemies. I just going to put this out there. For some of us, or for most of us, our greatest enemy when it comes to living for God is our flesh. Do I need to say that again? For us, our greatest enemy when living for God is our own flesh. You know, sometimes we blame the devil for a lot of things, but really, we are our own greatest hindrance. Our flesh. And the Spirit gives us victory over the flesh. The Bible says that the carnal mind is death, and the spiritual mind brings life and peace. We can't follow our flesh, we've got to follow the Spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we have victory over our flesh. That's why you got to feed the flesh. Not the flesh, you got to feed the Spirit. If there are two dogs, flesh and spirit, in a fight, okay? If you fed flesh and you starve spirit, which dog's going to win? Flesh. If you fed spirit and starve flesh, which dog's going to win the fight? Spirit. And so a lot of times we're too busy feeding the flesh and we haven't been feeding the Spirit. Let me tell you, when you are filled with the Spirit, you have power over your flesh. When you are filled with the Spirit, you can overcome temptation. When you are filled with the Spirit, it will lead and guide you into all truth. When you are filled with the Spirit, it will give you the power to witness to other people. And let me tell you, sometimes witnessing to other people, Brother Gian and Alpha, is not just with our mouth. But you walk into the workplace and they say, you know what? There's something different about you. There's a witness. There's something different about you. There's a different spirit about you. Yes, there is, because we follow the cloud. We are people of the cloud. We are identified by the cloud. We are filled with the Spirit of God. The same cloud that was on God's people in the Old Testament is the same cloud that identifies His people in the New Testament. We are people of the Spirit. We can be witnesses. Witnesses. Power to be witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us. I'm going to read a whole bunch of them. The Holy Spirit leads, convicts us of sin. When you're filled with the Spirit, and you do something wrong, you sin. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God will convict you of that sin. The Spirit sanctifies us. It sets us apart. The Spirit teaches us to pray. Take a photo, write it down. I'll send you my notes. The Spirit teaches us to pray. And I've read this list before when I preached, and a lot of people come and ask, Pastor, can you send me that list? Let me tell you, the Spirit anoints us for ministry. I'm not smart enough. I'm not able to minister to every need in this place. But through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God can use me to minister to every heart that's here today. Not because of me, because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit anoints us to minister. And the same with you. We are all ministers, not just people that stand behind the pulpit. But when you go and start talking to a friend, when you start talking to a neighbor, when you start to do a Bible study with someone, if you're filled with the Spirit and you surrender yourself to the Spirit, you see, what can happen is that the anointing of the Spirit begin to move through you, and you begin to speak, and they say, how did you know this about my life? You know, you're speaking right to me. And you know what? You don't know anything, but it's the Spirit of God that is anointing you to minister. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, the Spirit transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. The Spirit enables us to obey the truth. The Spirit comforts us. Jesus said, I will send the comforter, my Spirit. See, brothers and sisters, we've got to follow the cloud. We've got to follow the cloud. Listen to me today. We've got to follow the cloud. We're people of the cloud. We are people of the Spirit of God. The same cloud that led the children of Israel is the same cloud that leads us today. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, there is the promise of the Holy Spirit for every single one of us. Jesus said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask? And so it's our custom that we have an altar call at the end of this service. You're free to come and pray. We'll pray with you that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's for those that maybe have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I can show you all through the Bible that the Spirit is for every believer. But let me just get a little bit more personal now with the church, the people that come here every week. Let me tell you, some of us need to be refreshed in the Spirit. Restored, refilled. I'm not saying you don't have the Spirit of God, but a refilling of the Spirit of God. You see, the same Jesus that came in power to that upper room, He hasn't left us to our own devices. The same Spirit that came to the first church is still the same Spirit that wants to lead and guide the church in the 21st century. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is still alive, and He is still working through His church through the Spirit of God. The Bible says the promise is to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. Let's stand in this place today. If the musicians could come, follow the cloud. Let's stand. Follow the cloud. Follow the cloud. You see, a message like this sometimes can be a little bit difficult because we come to church. We like being in church. We like to sit on the chair. We like to be fed. We like to have a big feed from the Word of God. We like to sit there and enjoy it. But messages like this create an element of discomfort. You know when your teacher at school is talking about something and begins to mention homework? It's not a nice feeling. But there is some preaching that it's not a buffet that you can take or leave. But you got to partake. You got to make some changes. And this message is there to come and to put in you that discomfort that there is more. I'm not satisfied where I am right now. I want more of God. A divine discomfort in my spirit. That there is more for me. Yes, I'm a believer. Just like in Acts 19, they were believers. But Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? There is more. And I've simply come to preach that there is more, brothers and sisters. The same cloud that the children of Israel followed is the same cloud that wants to lead and guide us today. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. As I finish Titus chapter 3, verse 5, I talked about this refreshing. The Bible calls it a renewing. The Bible calls it a regeneration. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, throw that slide up, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not a Bible scholar. Don't proclaim to be. Not a theologian. Don't proclaim to know very much at all. But when I read this scripture, Titus 3 verse 5, it says the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It says we are saved. Read it. We are saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I may not be smart, but I'm smart enough to know this. That if it speaks of the renewing of the Holy Ghost, you've got to receive it before you can be renewed. Correct? So there are some that have been filled that need to be renewed, and our salvation is relying on it. There are too many people, and I've been in the church all my life. I'm preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to myself. There are too many people that are sitting on pews, sitting in churches, call themselves Pentecostals, celebrating something that happened 50 years ago. It ought not to be so. You can be renewed, you can be restored. You can be regenerated by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Right now, let's lift our hands all across this place. It's time to just receive what God has spoken to the church. It's time to receive it. Come on, everybody, raise your hands and receive what God is speaking to us. Yes, there's a level of discomfort because God wants to bring you into a new dimension. As we heard in the prophecy, it's time to step out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. It's time to step out of the flesh and to step into the supernatural realm, the spirit. Whenever there's change, there's discomfort. I believe that there's a holy discomfort in this place right now. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, lift your voice. Begin to cry unto God. Oh, God, fill us again. Renew us, restore us, regenerate us through your spirit, oh, God. We're hungry for more of you, God. Oh, yes, Jesus. Nobody like you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let that hunger, come on, let it begin to be expressed in words. I want more of you, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to follow that cloud today. I want to be in that cloud. I want to follow the leading of your spirit. I want to be filled with your spirit, oh God. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here today that's hungry for more of God? Is there anybody here today that's hungry for more of God? Oh, yes, Jesus. You will not leave us thirsty. You will not leave us hungry. You said, knock and it shall be opened. Seek and we shall find. Oh, yes, Jesus. Remember the prophecy that has already been spoken in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. I come against fear right now. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. As we sing this song, you're welcome to come and take that step. Step into this altar and say, God, I want more of you. I want to be renewed. I want to be refreshed in your spirit. Hallelujah. I believe something supernatural happens between there and the altar. When we step out in front of people and say, you know what? Putting myself out there in front of everybody, I want more of God. It's like the woman who pushed through the crowd, that the discomfort, everybody else was around, and she would have been conscious, but she said, you know what? I need a healing. I can't worry about what people are thinking about me. And if you're one of those people that's not worried about what people think about you, and you need a renewing and a refreshing, you can come to this altar and begin to cry out to God, because He wants you to follow the cloud. He wants you to live in the cloud. He wants you to be a person of the cloud. Oh, yes. Oh,